And good morning once again. Steve Buss in for Digital Dave and Fast Eddie. And we are joined now in the studio by Dean Alexander. He is the superintendent of the Dayton Aviation Heritage National Historic Park, of course, in Dayton, Ohio.
Home of the Wright brothers.
Exactly. The birthplace of flight, as it were. And I was just telling Dean, I said, I've not heard of this park before. And his eyes lit up and he got all excited and he said, good, I can tell you all about it.
Is that my cue?
Yeah, sure.
Well, Dayton Aviation Heritage, of course, commemorates the Wright brothers, right, who were residents of Dayton. Mm-hmm. And even though Kitty Hawk is more famous for being the location of the first flight, most of the development work they did on the airplane was actually done in Dayton. And we have a series of sites around Dayton, including the last of the original bike shops that's on its original location.
Really?
So you can actually come down and see the neighborhood where Orville and Wilbur grew up and actually invented the airplane. Unfortunately, Henry Ford took the bicycle shop in the house and took him up to Greenfield Village. But, you know, I can always point to the empty lot and say, that's where the airplane was invented.
Yes.
And we have the home that Orville lived in after he became rich and famous, lived out his life at Hawthorne Hill. Huffman Prairie, where the Wright brothers mm-hmm. did their development flying on the flyer, and where they operated their flying school and their exhibition team, and where guys like Hap Arnold learned how to fly. The park also includes another famous Daytonian, the home of another famous Daytonian, Paul Lawrence Dunbar, who was a classmate of Orville Wright's. And then very soon we hope to be able to get the first airplane factory in America.
Really?
Yeah. Those buildings, the Wright Company built two buildings, and then Dayton Wright built two more buildings for World War I production. And those buildings had been used by an auto parts manufacturing company for all the time intervening, and they've gone out of business. The site's getting cleaned up, and we hope to acquire it in the next couple of years.
Okay. Now, this is not necessarily one specific location, then. It sounds like
it's all over Dayton.
Okay.
Some of them, the Huffman Prairie site, for example, is probably within a mile of the Air Force Museum. Okay. Probably a lot of people recognize that more than they would recognize the name of the park.
Sure.
And then the Park Service, in addition to Dayton, you know, we have several other aviation history sites throughout the country. Kitty Hawk is also a unit of the National Park System, so we got the whole Wright brothers story. We also have Tuskegee Airmen site, Moulton Field, down in Tuskegee, which is one of the training bases that Tuskegee Airmen used. We have, maybe if you run over there really quickly, a J-3 Cub, because that was one of the airplanes they used at Moulton Field. Mm-hmm. In fact, the famous picture of Eleanor Roosevelt going right down and visit was in the back of a J-3 Cub. We have Gateway National Recreation Area in New York, Floyd Bennett Field. We basically own all of Floyd Bennett Field, and they've just redone the terminal there and turned that into a museum, and there are other tenant museums operating at Floyd Bennett. And then on the other coast at Gateway National Recreation Area, and I'm having a mind blank, but the airfield that was at the Presidio,
okay,
that's preserved as well and part of the National Park System.
So how did you come to be the supervisor of this system?
Well, I applied for the job.
Right.
I've been a national park superintendent for 25 years.
Okay.
So I've worked in different places around the country. Started off in Philadelphia, went to a regional office in Omaha, worked in Hawaii, worked in an archaeological site about 70 miles away from where I am now in Ohio, and then here at Dayton.
Good. For folks who maybe have a perception of the National Park Service as only taking care of things like Yellowstone, there's so much more. It's not just the traditional park in the woods. There's yes. so much more that you take care of.
Most of the units in the National Park System are historic sites.
Right.
So most of the famous American icons that would pop to mind, you know, the Statue of Liberty, mm-hmm. that's a National Park System unit. All of the monuments and memorials on the Mall, those are managed by the National Park Service. The Liberty Bell, you know, the Gateway Arch. So, you know, there are some others that are operated by some of our fellow agencies, and then there's some that, you know, like Monticello, Thomas Jefferson's home, that are still managed by private nonprofit groups. But by and large, if you're going to cut and paste an icon of America on, you know, on something that you're, you know, doing for the 4th of July poster, it's probably going to be a National Park Service site.
About how many employees are in the Park Service?
Ooh.
good trivia this morning?
20,000.
Okay.
We have 398 units of the National Park System. So that's really, you know, like the park I manage, we have about 20 employees. So we're spread out all over the country. Every state in the union except Delaware, I believe, has a unit of the National Park System.
All right. How do you take it? You were mentioning the former auto parts manufacturing company.
Right.
So what is your plan for something like that? I mean, how are you going to bring it back to original?
Well, one of the things that's interesting about Dayton is the park was set up to be a partnership. You know, the authorizing law tells us to do these things in partnership. So, you know, we're looking at 80 to 100,000 square feet of blank canvas at this point. You know, we know we want to do certain exhibits on the Wright Company and the Dayton Wright Company in those buildings, but that's not going to take up 100,000 square feet.
Right.
So we're out looking for, actively looking for partners to help utilize the rest of that. And they could be other aviation-related nonprofit groups like, you know, museums or people that want to build replica airplanes. One of our big leads is the local community college, Sinclair. They're looking for a permanent home for their aviation program. I couldn't think of a better place than the First Airplane Factory.
That would be, yes, that would be a wonderful partnership.
Right.
Yeah.
And they might actually get to see people, you know, working on airplanes and turning engines over. And I think they actually do, teach the mechanics how to taxi the airplanes and stuff like that. So you might actually have, you know, bumper airplanes out in the back, you know.
Sure. And for the students, it's also, I'm sure, very inspirational to have the, you know, the birthplace of the aviation right there in a museum or exhibits dedicated to that to remind them of the history and heritage. So,
And just out behind the window, behind you goes the National Park Service's first airplane taking off a Ford FC-2 that Greg Herrick out of the Twin Cities owns.
Oh, yes. Yeah, he's a good friend of EIA and aviation, especially old airplanes. I see you have a Piper Cub shirt on this morning.
Yes.
Are you a Piper Cub pilot?
No, I'm not.
A fan of?
I just like the shirt, so I bought it.
Very good.
I needed a yellow shirt. I had too many blue shirts and too many white shirts. And, you know, this one mustard doesn't show up on it.
Very good. Very good. Well, you mentioned you have a Cub on display.
We have a Cub on display.
Okay. And you're inside the Federal Pavilion. Just like the NTSB.
Right.
Who else is in the pavilion if they stop there?
Also in the pavilion, NTSB, the National Weather Service, the National Guard with the See and Avoid, because military operating areas give people information about how to avoid becoming an ornament on a front of an F-16. It's an international federal pavilion. So the Bahamas are in there. They have a big exhibit in there this year. And Canada.
Okay.
And most of the Homeland Security agencies, Customs and Border Protection, TSA, usually the most popular thing in the pavilion, they do demonstrations with the search dogs.
Yes.
And that's the most popular thing that goes on in the Federal Pavilion.
Excellent. Now we have a B-25 on the takeoff roll. Like I said, the departure dance is well underway today. So where do you see the future of the National Park Service going? Are we going to be acquiring more sites?
Well, you know, history, you know, most of the units of the Park Service are historic sites. Mm-hmm. So, you know, in history, we continue to make history over time. So I can imagine that, you know, there'll be other sites. You know, probably the most recent history we have in the Park Service is the Flight 93 Memorial from September 11th, where they crashed the fourth airplane. So, you know, that's as recent as, 9 years ago? 10 years ago? 11 years
11,
ago.
11, yeah.
I kept thinking it was 2003. I don't know why. So we'll see what goes on, you know, and, you know, typically there'll be a site for most presidents.
Mm-hmm. So you're spanning the entire history of the country.
Yep.
And as new history is made, you'll be there to help preserve it for future generations.
For future generations.
Excellent. Have you been to the show here before?
I've been an EAA member since 1993.
Okay.
And, of course, when I was in Hawaii, I didn't get a chance to come very much. But until I got hooked up when I was working about an hour from Dayton, I'd volunteer to come over and help out. And so for the last several years, I've been coming every year. Before that, it was a little more irregularly, but I got here as much as I could.
Good, good. Well, welcome back. Glad to have you
Thank
here.
You.
And good luck with the Aviation Heritage National Historical Park in Dayton. And if you're in the area, make sure you check out all the sites that are available from the birthplace of aviation.
That's right.
Dean, enjoy the rest of the day and have a safe trip home.
All right.
And hopefully we'll see you back here next year.
Thank you. I plan on being back.
Sounds good. I'm Steve Buss in for Digital Dave and Fast Eddie, and this is EAA Radio.